Assessing a person's legal matter often requires extensive interviews, review of contracts and documents, and research of the current state of the law on the issues involved. As a result, the information provided by the attorneys and guests of All Things Legal is given for informational purposes only. It is not to be construed as legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Communications with the attorneys on this program, whether verbal or digital, do not create an attorney-client relationship.
Hey, good morning. Doug Cinceri, and not Albert Nico, my wife, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. Give us a call at 260-1870 or text us at 870-870. We're going to do hybrid, law, sports. We're going to do a little both. And thanks, Michelle, for responding to my elbow this morning and coming in.
So welcome. Thank you for having me.
We're going to be on to 11 o'clock until the first take, and we'll have Steve Court. And Seth Dunlop, are they doing that here today? They're doing it here? So we'll see Steve. We'll probably bring Steve in at the end of our segment to get his take. The first take.
It sounds great.
And we sort of going to do a little bit of sports. We got Jim Miller, former vice president of New Orleans Saints, NFL executive, is going to give us a historical perspective of our win streak for the Saints and what does it mean for the future and some other win streak. You know, one of the things in my about 30 seconds of show prep I do is the Saints never had a winning streak more than three games before 1986. And I remember that. I remember being 11 years old, I think in the 73 season, the Saints got up to 4-4.
It was a big year, huh?
And I was thinking, this is rarefied air. I mean, this is really unbelievable. And but they never won more than three games, and now we're at eight and counting. And I think Jim wrote a couple great articles on Drew Brees and winning streaks and the significance and historical perspective and how it may play out in the future. So we have that. We'll talk law.
That's great.
And so we sort of mix it up, but we're going to be on for 3 hours. So we're going to we'll do our normal thing. But we'll lead into the Saints game. So now, for us, we're playing tourists in New Orleans this week.
We are. We arrived yesterday and walked the quarter. Saw a bunch of Eagles fans. And
yeah, the Eagles travel well.
Mm, they did travel well.
We went to we went to eat on Poitras Street.
Right.
And then we were staying at a hotel.
Right.
And then we walked to the French Quarter. Walked off our meal. Right.
Right. And then went to the Pelicans game, and that was a great game.
You know, we heard the sports segment, and AD had 40 points. Mm-hmm. Did it seem like he got 40 points?
No.
Watching the game?
No. In fact, the lady in front of me kept saying, there's something wrong with him. There's something in his head. And I'm thinking, he looks like he's doing great.
I think 20 of the points, I think, were at the free throw line, and that's why. But he was, I think we part of what the lady was, we're all getting used to is how great he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a, I want to say a freak in the sense of his uniqueness for someone that big who can do so many different things. And I think he's 3 or 4 inches taller than LeBron.
Wow.
And I think the difference between, If you want ask me which player would you want, I'd rather Anthony Davis and LeBron, because Anthony makes his teammates better. I don't know that LeBron does that.
Right, but you know, talking about how tall he was, that number 15 on the Denver team,
Jokic, he was
right up there.
I think he was 7'1", 7 foot, and he's shooting 3-pointers.
Yeah, it was amazing. We sat behind the Denver team. We had some great seats, and it was.
Coach Malone get a technical foul,
right?
And an assistant coach too, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
But I like what they have done to the roster. Now we're missing Elfrid Payton a little bit because when we have Elfrid a lot, because when we have Elfrid, Drew can play off the ball. Now Drew has to bring the ball down, play make, and then make a shot for himself. In other words,
you mean AD?
No, Drew Holiday.
Oh, okay. Oh, Drew.
Drew.
Okay.
Drew.
J-R-U-E.
Yeah, Drew.
I thought you were saying Drew.
Yeah. Well, that's my New Orleans accent that messes up his name. Sorry, Drew. Drew. But, you know, if you had Alfred in, it would take one of the responsibilities away from Holiday. And I think Alfred's going to be out for a while with a broken finger. But he he's as good as Chris Paul was. I think he's a different kind of player, but I think he's better. And I think AD's probably the best player in the league, bar none, all around.
Yeah, the people sitting next to us from
Los Angeles,
they
think he's coming to Los Angeles.
I know.
Heck with that. He's staying here. Oh, we're hoping he does. But so they – and I like Julius Randle over Boogie. And that's what I wanted to get to, is Boogie is a coach killer in my eyes. I think he was a good trade to bring him here, to bring some excitement to the team, to rejuvenate AD. But ultimately, in the long term, I think he's two things. He's a coach killer, and he plays a half-court game where he's like – the ball goes to him, he's going to wave it around for 10 seconds before he's going to get it off, where the Pelicans now have an identity, baseline to baseline. They scored 140 points last night, and that seemed normal. It seemed normal. It didn't seem like any other team, it seems like 140 points, it seems like a video game, but it's becoming normal to us now, and that's their identity. And Julius Randle has that baseline athletic ability at 6'10", where he can run. He can run the court, and I think he fits with the identity. And finally, after 7 or 8 years, Dell Demps has got the team he wants and the identity he wants. Oh, we got 125? I'm sorry, we had 125. There were 70. Yeah, they had 70 at half. I'm sorry, I was doubling it. But 125, thanks, Dave. But even 125, you know, the average NBA score is probably 108 to 110 or 108, 105. I mean, they just score.
Who were they playing when we saw them Friday? Was it Friday?
Knicks. They were playing Knicks. They started Solidio down by 21 points, third largest comeback in franchise history. But they came back from that 21 points just like that.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't like you were grinding it out, man. They just, you know, just started playing, and they cut it down, and they ended up, I think, taking the lead for the first time in about 2.5 minutes to go. So it's a great night. So you had the Pelicans. There's a couple of games over 500. We got the Saints. Jim Miller's going to talk about the Saints. I'm going to try to keep him on for about a half an hour. It's very fascinating. He's been with the Bills. He's been with the Chicago Bears. He was a sports writer. Was with the NFL Management Council. Just 4 decades.
Wealth of knowledge.
And he was a UNO athletic director during the Katrina, which he wrote a book about. All right, so let's go. We've got phone lines. Let's go to Justin. We got a new phone system.
I know,
man.
I see it. I'm sort of freaked
out here, you know. Let's see. You got a button here. We press that. All right, Justin, you on All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demarest Cinceri.
Hi, Doug and Michelle. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Justin, what's happening?
I want to dedicate this call to my father, my late father, Jack Marcel. And you told me, Doug, that you used to work at a law office right next door.
Well,
to
I was
him.
Right next to him, and I see him walk by that cowboy hat, and he looked. I will tell you,
well,
he looked.
I clerked at his office. I was a court runner for like 2 summers, and I went to your law office a lot. I don't know if I even met you. I might have.
he had the cowboy hat, and he saw the mythical figure walk into federal court. You know, and I don't think he carried his own briefcase. He always had someone carrying it for him.
Oh, he always carried a briefcase. He loved to carry paperwork. He loved it. And I miss him a lot. So I'm going to dedicate this call to him.
Okay.
First of all, I have a quick Saints comment.
Yes.
I was 3 years old the year the Saints were born.
So
I went through all those painful years.
That's right.
Those painful years. We were laughed at by the NFL, and now we're being great. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
For 20 years, and there was you know, we the closest we came was a winning season was 8-8 and a 7-9 season, and that was it. And you know, the Saints were looked at, and a lot of young people don't know this, the millennials, that we were like the Cleveland Browns of the NFL.
We were worse than that.
Yeah, we were worse. I mean, we really, and it was just for 20 years we just never got it. We got close with Baum, very close, but it makes it nicer, that's for sure.
Hey, look at us now. I mean, we're on the road to the Super Bowl. I'm right there with them. Anyway, let me get to my legal question.
Yes.
If there's a class action lawsuit and a homeowner had damage from street work, and they sell the house, and the class action suit is settled, and they get money. Does the money go to the house, or does it go to them?
It goes to the individual person.
Okay. So even if she sells the house and moves elsewhere, the money goes to her?
Yeah, because when a house is sold, it was sold with that diminished value, I guess. It was damaged.
Okay.
So I'm sure the purchase price of the house, any damage was baked into the purchase price. If they had
that answered my question, because yes. That was the only question she has is, will I have the money go to me or go to the house? And said, I don't know. It'll ask somebody.
Only way it doesn't if somehow that claim was assigned in connection with the sale, which I doubt it would have been.
Okay. Well, look, y'all have a great day, and go Saints.
Go Here's Saints. All right, Justin, good hearing from you. Let's go to Greg's got a question regarding partnership agreements. Hey, Greg, you on All Things Eagle. Hey, man, what's happening?
Oh, how's it going, man? All is well.
Good. I was calling.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so I was calling, man. So back in September, I went on with a guy. You know, we decided to, you know, buy a house together. And so what happened was, you know, we was going to go to closing 2 weeks later. You know, we had an assigned agreement between the both of us, put down in half a deposit, and when we get to the closing, you know, pay the remaining. And so what happened was I went to inspect the house, and we was like, no, I'm not going to do it. So I was letting him know, listen, man, I can't fool with this because it's going to be too much, you know, expensive or whatever. It's not going to be worth me putting, you know, the remaining up, and let's just, you know, split it, you know, call it a not deal. And so anyway, he had some other things he had been working on. He's going to do a lot of properties, get a whole lot of properties or whatever, some big deal he was working on at the time as well with I. So some type of way, my money got tied up into that deal, and it's like I'm still waiting on some kind of way he's supposed to have got the check, and, you know, that he had something issues with his, you know, paying taxes.
So y'all were supposed to buy a property together, but the sale didn't go through.
Yeah, well, yeah, when I seen the house that it wasn't worth,
But the sale didn't go through, right?
Right, yes, sir, that's correct.
And so the partnership, do y'all have any written agreements?
All the written agreements we got is about one subject property, that's it.
And so so now you want to unwind the partnership, right?
Well, what happened, if we was going to buy a house together and he had a separate deal with dealing with something else, but my money got tied up in the whole, all of that.
What resolution do you want? And I could maybe help you tell you how to get there.
All right. So what I needed, because I'm all right with the guy. I'm not like we not, you know, he all right. It's just I'm not sure if he's telling me the truth about he's got this money, this check, he's owed for some back taxes, and he held the check. In the account that he got, check.
Theoretically, you put money up. The money was never used for its intended purpose, right?
Yes, right.
So the money should come back.
That's right.
I would say
I haven't
this.
Gotten it yet.
Well, he shouldn't have spent it because he wasn't supposed to use it because y'all did not use it for your intended purpose.
Right.
So that's if he's telling you that he's waiting on something else, obviously he took your money that was earmarked for this deal and used it on something else and now doesn't want to give it back to you. That's what my impression would be based on what you're telling me.
But he wants to give it back. He has refused not to give it back.
I'm going to say I don't really care what people want to do. I want to see what they are going to do.
Yeah, I'm saying too, man. Yeah, I hear you.
So he may want to. I want to play quarterback for the Saints, but I'm not going to do it, all right?
Right.
So wanting's one thing. Now, if that money was earmarked for a specific purpose and that purpose was unwound, that money should come, and you asked for it back, it should come back to you. And if it didn't, it's because he's probably using it for something else.
Right.
All right?
Right. So what I'm saying, what would I need to do in regards to that situation?
That's the hard part. If he doesn't give it back voluntarily, you'll have to try to get it back involuntarily. How much money is it?
$1,500.
Go to small claims court.
Yeah.
Go to small claims court. It's like the people's court. You in Orleans Parish?
Yep.
Second floor, Loyola. Avenue, corner of Loyola and Poydras. Second floor, go up there, fill it out, get your money back. All right, thanks for the call, my man. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico is not here. My wife, Michelle, will be right back after this brief timeout. You know, we're going to, we got a text, but we got to go in about a minute. So, Michelle, you got a text you want to?
Yeah, it just says, is email set up at an, there was an email set up at an office and the employee leaves and changes the password. What happens now? Help. Well, it's not a legal issue, but for our IT, you know, we have an administrative background where we can control it, even if somebody changes their password.
So your IT guy can do it. So, yeah, but it's always a good idea to keep an updated list of all your passwords, just in general for everything, especially if someone leaves, you're done. So there you go. Not a legal issue. It's a pragmatic issue. All right, going to a CBS News update. And then we're going to local news, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes and all things legal. Second half of hour number one, we'll be on till 11 o'clock. The First Take with Seth and Steve. 1 o'clock is countdown to kickoff with Bobby and Christian, and kickoff's around 3:25. So there we go. No reason to turn your dial off. Dial. Is that, that's what the old people say. Turn your dial off. Don't dial off of WWL.
Yeah, now it's more
don't press. Don't press. Huh? What do you tell a millennial?
I don't know.
Huh? Well, you don't know?
I don't know. I'm not going there.
You're not going there?
Nope.
So to put down your avocado. Don't put down your avocado and switch the station, right?
I'm going to start getting texts now. Great.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Elwin. Hey, Elwin, you and all things legal with Doug Sinceri and Michelle Demers Sinceri.
Hey, man, I got three questions to ask you. I'm actually... All of them at one time.
Yeah, there you
go. What happened to Walter Fleetman Robinson?
Well, you remember Flea Roberts? I think he ran. Roberts. I think he was about five six, and he ran for a kickoff in 1967 for a touchdown. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him. I know he's got to be over 70 years old if he's still around.
And what happened to Ernie Wheelwright and Andy Livingston?
Ernie Wheelwright, I believe, is still in a bar in the French Quarter. No, I'm not sure. Now, I will tell you this. Andy Livingston, I know this by memory, was the leading rusher for the Saints, I think, in 1970. He had 742 yards. I'm doing that by memory. But they were about 3 or 4 years with the Saints, and they were gone. But they were Ernie Wheelwright, I know, was a character. In fact,
Do you know where they are now?
No, I have no idea. There is one person who wouldn't know where he is if they're around, and his name is Bill Becknell, who was he was my boss, and he was he's still Mr. John Meekum's attorney. And he probably has more historical knowledge of the New Orleans Saints than anyone facing the earth from beginning to end, because he was there from the beginning.
Because me and some friends was talking yesterday, and they remembered the old squad. And I said, yeah, well, I remember Billy Kilmore, Ernie Wheelwright, mm-hmm. and Andy Livingston, and Al Dodd.
Tony
and
Baker.
Danny Abramowitz, Tony Baker. Baker got killed in a car accident.
Did he?
I know he did.
Well, you know who was the first fullback for the Saints, huh? The very first one. Jimmy Taylor. Who else?
Jimmy Taylor, yeah. And he passed away, too.
He passed away this year. He came over from the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
Next man. So,
right.
So, yeah, they had, and you know, they had Bob Butler. They had Jess Phillips back then. They had do you remember Howard Stevens?
Yeah, I remember Howard Stevens.
He was 5'5". He was about the size of Darren Sproles. He was probably the same size as Darren Sproles. So,
and
yes,
then they traded him to Baltimore.
They sure did. They sure did.
So I remember that. I remember that one.
And then we had Charlie Brown, too. If you remember
Charlie
that.
Brown, that's right. I remember him, too. Do you know anything about Jim Barrow, who used to be on the Saints back there with the Saints? He did the show with... what's his name? With Tom Fish. He did the Tom Fish show. Jim Barrow.
He
was a sportscaster for Channel 4.
That was a long time ago, because I know after that, Buddy DiLiberto did From the Press Box shortly thereafter, if he did, with the coaches show. But no, they had Maury McGill was one of the first announcers.
But he did the television show with with Tom Fierce. I remember him doing the Tom Fierce show.
That's before the Monday Night Football games, I believe.
Way before the Monday Night Football
games. Way before the Monday Night games. All right. Well, there you go. So, well, you got, man, I will tell you what. I will ask Bill when I will talk to him a week. Where is Ernie Wheelwright and who else did you want to find out about? Andy Livingston. He would know. And check back with me in about 2 weeks, and I'll give you an update.
And ask him about Jim Barrow.
Jim Barrow. I'll ask him about that, too. All right. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Elwin. Let's go. You know, we go from Saints trivia to employment questions. That's, you know, natural transition on the show. Let's go to Matt. He's got a question regarding employment termination. Hey, Matt, you on All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Well, my father worked for a company for 45 years. I'm not going to say the name of the company. It's in New Orleans. And him and four of his colleagues, all 55 and above, were suddenly let go due to restructuring of the company.
Yes.
Well, one of the people knew it was good friends with a lawyer, and they started a lawsuit. Well, in the meantime, my dad had some heart issues. He had to have a stent put in. And the lawyer is telling my father he shouldn't participate in the lawsuit because of his health. But it's like, you know, if you're going to be compensated with money, I would think that that would be less stress on you. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Well, I will tell you this. Age discrimination cases are very difficult to win, because of the changing demographics of the workforce. Okay. Basically, what age discrimination says that if a primary motivating factor in your termination was due to your age and is not for a non-discriminatory faction, then you could prevail on a claim for employment discrimination. But the hard part is the evidence and proving that. And you can either prove it by direct evidence, which is meaning, you know, you have somebody who actually says in the process we're getting rid of you because you're old or over 55 and we have to pay you too much, which nobody's going to say that, or half a brain's going to say that.
No.
So then you have to prove it by indirect evidence. And so there's so many people in the workforce, me included, who are over 55 now, that it is a little harder to prove. Now, you can do it with statistics. You could do it with indirect evidence, but they are very, very difficult cases. Sales number is a factor. It's a factor to show that, hey, your sales were up. Why would you fire someone who's performing adequately but for the fact, you know, their age? But they are very, very expensive and difficult cases, and I'm finding they're very far and few between. Now, as far as whether – what I'm trying to tell you, they're not slam-dunk cases. Very, very difficult.
Okay.
And I would say statistically, this is just in my observation, probably less than 20% of them ever prevail, if that many. You might settle. The settlements may be for nuisance value, or they may be for something more than that. That's why employers do severance agreements. It's because they want to buy out the possibility of future litigation. They're not so much worried about losing. They're worried about the cost of litigation. And they don't want to incur that.
I kind of told my dad that, and I was like, look, if you just go to them saying that you're going to take action, they might just up and settle, you know, right then and there.
What you do is this, is you could maybe suggest that you're considering that, and they may increase the severance package. In other words, increase the severance package as to how much they're going to pay. But I'm going to say that, you know, employment discrimination cases, that human resources, and Michelle, you probably know, have caught up with it. They in the 90s, they were the recipients of a lot of lawsuits. They spent a lot of money, and they don't want to spend it anymore. So even if they're going to fire you for a discriminatory reason, they know how to couch it in a different way so that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, the guy's son-in-law of the company took over, and from what we hear, it's just a wreck. The place is a train wreck. And, you know, like you said, they're trying to get younger employees in. They don't have to pay them as much, et etc. But well, yeah, I was just wondering.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I guess I can't, you know, judge the merits of the case, because obviously you have to look at it and look at, you know, the statistics, who's been fired, who's been retained, what's the workforce composition, those type of questions. But in general, they're very difficult cases to win in 2018.
Okay, sir. I appreciate it.
All right,
thank
my man.
You.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to a break, Doug Cinceri. Michelle Demmer Cinceri, your weekend lawyers. All right, we'll be right back after this brief time. We're back, Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer Cinceri, all things legal. We have a couple of texts. One was saying, thank God that Michelle doesn't look like Albert.
Boy. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, you think you're thankful. What about me?
The other one was they let us know that Ernie Wheelwright had died in 2001.
Well, right. Ernie Wheelwright died May 1st, 2001. Because we had a call about Ernie. He was number 38. He was with the Saints for the first 5 years.
Right.
Now, when I was working for Bill and with the Meekums, I was like a sponge on information that was talked about the old Saints, because I was just... And so I knew Ernie liked the clubs in New Orleans. But he was actually in The Longest Yard, The Greatest, the Muhammad Ali movie, Wildcats. And he also served in, he was a veteran in the 101 First Airborne. And he owned a club in Atlanta, but I didn't want to say the name of the club. So we're going to call it the Pink Kitty Cat.
The Pink Kitty Cat Club.
Right, so he owned a club too. I did remember that about him. So Ernie is gone, and he will not be able to watch the Saints continue progress. And he didn't even get to see the Saints win the Super Bowl either. So anyway, but he's probably up in some gambling joint in heaven with Buddy watching the game. So
there you go.
Probably in he's not Caesars, but some place where there's monitors, you know.
That's
with
such
Buddy
a visual.
DiLiberto. I better get out. That's not Caesar's Palace in heaven. But anyway, son of a gun. So we're talking about. Oh, we're going to talk. We got Jim Miller coming on in a few minutes.
We do.
And we're going to. I don't know if we could squeeze anything legal. I guess we could talk a little bit about LSU. We got 2 minutes, and we got to go to break. But LSU. Let's talk about LSU and Coach O.
Okay.
We were Coach O homers from the very beginning, right?
We were. Yes.
Big time. And to think that LSU would be 9-2, and they probably have about 10-15% chance of making the playoffs, which is just incredible. And they got good talent. They got Devin Wright.
They have it as well.
They have good. What did I say? Did I say they got? They have good talent. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Sorry, Mr. Stabler, eighth grade teacher, De La Salle. He's cringing right now. But to take that team and have them number five is one of the greatest coaching jobs that any LSU coach has ever done, because they have some talent, not great talent on offense, really good talent on defense. And he was actually in not a reloading type of situation with the program like Alabama does.
Right.
He was really rebuilding.
Right,
he was rebuilding with from the ground up. Les had let the program a little bare when he left off, and now he is on a definite upward trajectory, and he's done a fantastic job among the doubters.
Right.
So, Coach O, blessings to you. You are done a great job, and had a great roommate with Bobby Hebert, who started this whole process, helped him out with this, huh? Back in college. All right, we're going to go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer Cinceri, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. We're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer Cinceri, all things legal. We have to go. I said got. What's the proper way to say that? We need to.
There you go. Thanks,
there
Dave.
You go. All right, we're going to get straight. We're going to... national news, local news, and then we're going to have Jim Miller, former vice president of the Saints and NFL exec, to give us a historical perspective on the Saints' season so far, and then we'll talk law after that. We're on till 11 o'clock, so we're just hanging out until the first take. So we'll see you in about 10 minutes. Hang on all things legal.